Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, 8:07 on your Wednesday morning. Happy you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show and here alongside Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bright. And Trent's had your traffic this morning. Sue Thomas, by the way, will be back with us tomorrow, I believe, is the case. All right, lots of focus out there right now on us bombing these drug boats. And before I get to our guest, I just want to play the soundbite this morning from one of our former Missouri senators on what she would like to do regarding this situation. Listen to this.
And I got to tell you, I want to indict Hegseth. I want to indict Trump for this, what they're doing here. But really, the military leaders, the ones he had in the first term, would not have done this. They would. Where's Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Why isn't he? The military deserves better than this.
Wow. Do we have another politician calling for our military to ignore orders? I don't know. That was Claire McCaskill. And right now we're fortunate enough to have United States Senator Eric Schmidt on the line with us this morning. Eric, welcome back. How are you?
It's great to be with you, Mark. I'm good.
Yeah,
By the way, for the audience at Guns N' Roses, Mark looked dashing. In his Let me just say that. I saw him ringside. He may or may not have rented it, is what I'm told, but he looked great.
He did have to rent it because the old one was 20 years old, and I was a little embarrassed by the fashion faux pas there. Yeah, it was great seeing you there. Thank you for saying that. That's fantastic. And thanks for showing up for that, as you always do. We appreciate that.
It's a great event for folks who haven't gone. It's just there's a lot of camaraderie there. The police and firefighters, they raise a lot of money for backstoppers. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great cause.
It sure is. Well, I hope you heard the soundbite I played there from Claire McCaskill off the top of the show, talking about the fact she wants to indict President Trump and Pete Hegseth, and now she's questioning where our military leaders are by allowing us to continue to take out narco terrorists. What's your reaction?
Well, let me say this about Claire McCaskill, and I rarely use this word to describe anyone. She is insufferable. Like, Claire McCaskill is the biggest phony in maybe the history of Missouri politics. She was finally exposed for being, you know, she's the daughter of rural Missouri shtick she played for so long, which was all a lie. And she was finally exposed as a radical liberal, which is why she ultimately lost. And why her only place that she could spout off nonsense now is MSNBC. So she's insufferable. That's point number one. Point number two, there is no serious legal expert would question whether or not the president of the United States has Article II powers as commander in chief to blow up narco terrorists on the Caribbean trying to poison 100,000 Americans every single year. It's not a close call. Now, you could make a political argument that we should or shouldn't be doing that. But that's not actually what they're doing, Mark. And it's really dangerous. So you've got these senators and other folks who are saying disobey orders. They went so far as to say that if you didn't do what we're suggesting, that service members could be indicted for following orders. And now you have a former U.S. Senator, loudmouth Claire McCaskill, saying that people should go to jail for trying to protect citizens of this country from narco terrorists. They have totally lost their minds. And it's really just a situation. It's Trump derangement syndrome. Whatever he does, they want to do something different. But this kind of call for lawfare at every turn is a dangerous road for them and for the country.
So we're all waiting to see what will happen with health care here. And I understand you all met yesterday, right? Senate Republicans did. I do have a question. I want to hear how that meeting went, but I also have a question from one of our listeners who sent something in on our text line. And they were talking about... I'm going to ask that question later, actually. Let me hear how this went with healthcare first.
Sure. So to kind of put the thing in perspective, everybody knows with Obamacare, the Democrats, with all Democrat votes, they never sought any input from Republicans past Obamacare. And it has been a disaster for working families. Healthcare premiums in Missouri are up well over 200%. I mean, routine procedures have skyrocketed. There's been nothing done to control costs, and so premiums have gone up. During COVID, the Democrats enacted a Biden COVID bonus for people making over 400% of the federal poverty level. Those plans were subsidized for zero premiums. Okay, the Democrats set for that program to expire at the end of the year. It's expiring. So the Democrats want to renew that without any reforms. About 40% of the people that signed up, guys, don't actually use the – it all goes to insurance companies. So it's not like this actually helps reduce costs. It just made insurance companies a boatload of money. So while premiums have skyrocketed, the stock prices of these insurance companies have gone up in some instances 1,000% in that same period of time. So Republicans we met yesterday, that plan is not going to fly. No Republican's going to support that to make the situation worse. So we've got a shot at reform. So the reform will be to, instead of that money going to insurance companies, to have some money to go to people's ACA their HSA accounts, their health savings accounts. So individuals can control where they want to go in the marketplace. And so the Democrats, my guess is they won't support it. They don't support any reform. They've never taken any Republican input on anything. So my guess is their plan won't pass. Our plan won't pass. And then we'll be at this place where Obamacare continues to be a failure. Republicans stand willing and able to address reform, but we're not going to continue down this road of a broken system that Democrats created.
Yeah. Kim, what was the question from the listener?
Sorry, I realized it was actually a question about the budget. I was looking closer, why I know we had a lot of questions about health care and really what the solution is here.
Right.
So the question go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think the long-term solution here is you got to have greater transparency. Consumers have, in a third-party payer model, consumers are so removed from it, from the cost. And I think if consumers had real choice, if they knew what the MRI cost at one place versus the hospital, and they could make the lower cost decision for the same service, that's what ultimately gets healthcare costs down. But right now, that's not the model that's created. The big insurance companies and the hospitals, quite frankly, wrote Obamacare.
Right.
And it's been bad for consumers.
Yeah. Senator Eric Schmidt with us this morning. I have a question for you. Do you support the idea of killing the filibuster?
I want us to be more active. I think we have tools to do it, Mark, in the sense that we can do another reconciliation package. I think we need to do that while we have the supermajority. I do worry that if that happens, I know what the Democrats have on deck, which is they will pack the Supreme Court. They will add states to the union. They are willing to do things that will remake this country instantly if the filibuster goes away. The best argument is that they're going to do it anyway. I just don't know if there's enough support in our conference to do it. I do think we need to be more aggressive. I try to tell my colleagues all the time here. I think my time as attorney general was really eye-opening for me because I saw the assault from the left on so many different fronts that I'm not sure all the Republicans really know what time it is out there.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are hell-bent on power and control, and I think we have to have an answer. I think the best practical answer, Mark, right now is we need to get busy on a reconciliation package again that only requires 51 votes and continue to deliver on the president's agenda.
I agree. Senator, one last question. I heard Glenn Beck go sideways on this the other day, but I found myself completely agreeing with him. He says he's tired. He's tired of all this talk of, what we know the Democrats did with Steele dossier and all of these investigations and RICO investigations. And then at the end of the day, we never see anybody perp walked. I mean, you're sort of in the inner circle there with a lot of the people that are close to the president. Do you feel like that's going to happen at some point?
I do. Listen, I understand that frustration. I really do. And quite frankly, I get that asked of me all the time. Hey, when is there going to be action on some of the things that really were meant to upend this country, destroy people's lives, and be the real quote unquote threat to democracy that the Democrats always claim that President Trump was or that MAGA is, right? I do think that's going to happen. I think that in more than just hearings. So when I say there's going to be hearings on this Arctic Frost, which is this wide net, I'll be chairing some of those hearings to kind of further get at what Jack Smith did, the coordination among these prosecutors to get Trump and go after Turning Point and the Republican AG Association, anybody that had a red jersey on. I think we need to continue to expose it, but action needs to happen. I do think that you're going to see indictments as it relates to Russiagate, even though the statute of limitations has expired on some of the stuff, not on a conspiracy. So if you're part of a conspiracy at the mile marker one and you exit mile marker five, you're still liable at mile marker 10. And I think that Comey, Clapper, a lot of the people that really engineered the beginning of this and all the things that happened since then, they should be indicted, and my hope is that they will be indicted.
Very good. Senator Eric Schmidt, keep up the great work. Thanks for your time this morning.
All right, guys. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Appreciate that. Good to get him on here. All right, quick break here. The great one, Jimmy Failla from Fox Across America, coming up. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girl. Jimmy Failla in the house from Fox Across America.
Great to get him back on the air. Jimmy Failla, good morning to you. How are you?
You're ready to rumble. Tonight's a big night in Fox News Town. We have our company Christmas party.
Outstanding.
So, a calm before the storm, if you will. And, this time tomorrow, I could be calling you from a New York City taxi, depending on how this whole party goes tonight. So,
well, it's good to have a fallback. It's good to have a fallback plan, though, right? It's good. It's good. So how do they, you don't have to give me too many details, but how do they do that upright at Fox? Because, you know, like we're having a Christmas party Thursday for our radio station. Like they generally just have like a pop-up bar, and in our case, spouses aren't even invited. So.
Whoa. Well, here's the thing. Because there's so many people who work here, it's usually off-site, either at like a massive bowling alley or like a ballroom. And there are, you know, there's bars. It's actually pretty opulent. Like, it's nice. But the thing is, everybody there, it's TV. So, there's, you know, the bar is kind of crowded, but the food is not, because nobody eats. I'm the only guy there who eats. So I know every single waiter on a first-name basis. And everybody else is just over in a corner jabbing themselves with an Ozempic needle all night and pointing at all the hors d'oeuvres I'm eating.
Oh,
so that's
man.
Usually how it goes down. You know, traditionally someone is like the talk of the Christmas party because of how drunk they are.
Yep.
But the talk here is it's the guy who had two pigs in a blanket. They're like, look at that guy letting himself go.
Do people actually go? Because I'm guilty of not going to a lot of those. And in my defense, I just had a baby about 16 weeks ago or whatever it was. So as a mom, it's hard. So I'm kind of curious how many people actually go to their company Christmas parties.
Well, I think the percentage here is pretty high because we haven't had one in a few years. Like we kind of stopped post-COVID, but it's a smash and grab. People show up for an hour, kind of hit the scene and go. Because, again, in corporate America, you really don't want to be the guy. You know, every Christmas party ends with a guy who's being talked about for weeks. And if you don't know who it was at last year's party, obviously it was you. You know, that whole thing. So defense wins championships.
Were you ever the guy, Jimmy?
Honestly, no.
No?
Like, that's the thing. Like, I sound and present, obviously, like I get paid in Tide Pods and tequila, okay? But at a party, like, I like to chat with people. So I'm usually, like, just off in the corner telling dirty jokes with two or three people. I'm not, like, breaking down the dance floor or anything. Like, at a wedding, I might be the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like my wedding or family wedding. I'm going to carry this thing.
Who is breaking down the dance floor?
Well, you know, you're just there. You're active, okay? You're an active participant, which, of course, gives other people permission to let themselves go, okay? So, yes, I have that quality. But in corporate America, listen, man, it's not like a gimmick. I really was getting cut off and shot at for 12 hours a day in a taxi. So I kind of need this gig. So I play good defense when the stakes are at their highest.
We'll be looking for some good pictures out of that Fox Christmas party. I'm sure they'll be airing them tomorrow. But no kidding, we had two guests scheduled tomorrow, and they both canceled on us, probably for that reason. They're going to be out late tonight. Isn't that funny? Yeah, we're like, Fail is the only one we got this week. Am I right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Very true.
I'll get you the dirt. Hey, I owe you that.
I got a question for you. Have you seen Letterman's appearance on Kimmel last night? Did you see that?
No, according to the ratings, no one else did either besides you.
He but, gets on there and
I
he talks.
See it now.
Yeah, he gets on there and he spins his, and like, you know, he looks like the Unabomber these days with that big white beard.
Yeah.
I grew up loving the David Letterman show, and it was never overtly political. These guys have ruined late night TV, but last night, Letterman goes on Kimmel trashing Trump. That's one of the reasons he went, apparently.
Of course. And you know, this is one thing no one ever speaks to about late night and guys like Letterman and their bitterness is Trump was a frequent guest on his show, obviously.
Yes.
So it's very disingenuous to say this about a guy you were happy to book for 20 years on your TV show. But one of the reasons they hate him, Letterman and Stern are the best example of this, is because a guy who was a guest on their show, meaning they were the star, he was the occasional guest, that guy went on to become so much more relevant than them. And that's the thing. This is not really about political ideology. It's about relevance. Like, if you were to run a comparison, Howard Stern, remember, he was the king of all media. That's what he called himself. Well, these days, he's like the Prince Harry of all media, you know, compared to Trump in terms of relevance. Nobody cares. And it's the same thing with Letterman. Nobody cares. So a lot of this is a lash out at that he's kind of dwarfed them in terms of relevance. And they tie it to some ideology like they're these moral high grounds people. But they're in showbiz, okay? They just stop it. These are some of the most morally bankrupt humans who've ever existed.
Oh, man. Hey, Jimmy, we're 5 weeks out roughly from your appearance in St. Louis, and we're very excited about having you at the factory here on January 24th.
Yeah, you are the first gig of 2026.
Nice.
Okay? It's a really big deal. Everyone has talked up the factory. And I just, again, for me to get out there on the road, the best gig of the year is this gig because it's your new hour of material.
Yeah.
And you're busting it out. It's like opening night. So you guys are coming to something so much bigger than a show. It's, you know, the first night of the end of my career. Because my new hour is out there, man. It's just, it's a little out there in a good way.
That's good.
No one's going to be offended, but they're going to be like, wow.
Well, we'll be glad to be guinea pigs for that. Tickets are on sale, by the way. You can go to our website, 971talk.com/events, to see Jimmy Failla at the factory on Saturday, January 24th. Jimmy, enjoy the party tonight, my friend.
I'll get you any dirt I can on the Fox people. I'll talk to you soon.
Please do. All right. Thank you. Jimmy Failla there up in New York getting ready to get potty. They're going to party.
It's always interesting when you see the people not at work and it kind of out of context. And it's like, okay, oh, you're the one who's tearing up the dance floor. Mm-hmm. You're the one who's over there drinking way too much.
They're pretty much buttoned up for the most part.
I don't know. That's why when they're just among each other, maybe not. I was curious, who is it that's tearing up the dance floor that we wouldn't expect?
Like,
is it Brian Kilmeade?
It's Griff Jenkins.
Is it Griff Jenkins?
Todd Pyro.
That's who it is.
Oh, you know Todd
would
do that.
Could be Todd Pyro. Could be. All right, coming up, we are going to talk to Taylor Riggs. She didn't bail on us today either. She's with the Big Money Show, and we'll talk about the...
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love.
Interest rate.
For just over 1 year ago today, with your help, we saved America. That's what happened. We saved in the most important election victory possibly in the history of our country. Our country is going down. We were a country that was being scoffed at, laughed at all over the world.
And you saved
us. We won all seven. Thank you, Charlie. She said, and you saved us. Who are you? Stand up, please. Who said that?
I love you.
I love her.
Trump had a little bit of fun in Pennsylvania last night with the audience member there. She was standing somewhere in that crowd behind him that they filled in behind that that rally. You know, I thought this was interesting while we wait on our friend Taylor Riggs here to join us. Did you hear the interview from Susie Wiles, the Trump chief of staff? What you saw last night in Pennsylvania is just the beginning of the 2025-2026 campaign for the midterms. That wasn't a one-off. Like, he wants to address this affordability issue by going to places like Pennsylvania and telling them what he's done for the steel industry and what he's doing for the steel industry and what he's done for you on tips. And, oh, yeah, by the way, wait till you start not getting taxed on your Social Security check anymore. That's going to mean more money in your Social Security check. All of these things that are kind of glossed over by the Democrat talking points on affordability. Well, this costs more. Well, that costs more. And they are doing things to help people. This is what Susie Wiles said about all of that heading into the midterms. Listen to this.
Typically, you in the midterms, it's not about who's sitting at the White House. It's you localize the election.
Right.
And you keep the federal officials out of it. We're actually going to turn that on its head.
Good.
And put them on the ballot. Because so many of those low propensity voters are Trump voters.
Yes, they are.
And we saw a week ago Tuesday what happens when he's not on the ballot and not active. So I haven't quite broken it to him yet, but he's going to campaign like it's 2024 again.
Oh,
yeah, and he clearly loves it. I mean, if you watched him on the stump last night, he was back in 2024 campaign mode.
Oh, Trump thrives. He feeds off the crowd's energy.
Oh, I think so. Well, I mean, this, for example, I mentioned the steel prices. Lots of steel mills in Pennsylvania, and I don't know how much fracking or oil stuff they do there, but I know they do some in West Virginia with coal and all of that. This is what he said to them last night about the steel industry. And remember, Granite City Steel over here across the river has been working on continuing to do some work with slabs of steel made somewhere else. They're about to start firing up their blast furnace.
Right.
Which is a big deal, right? Now, there's some cost and effort involved in getting that thing going again, and that's important to understand. But it's because of the investment that the tariffs, I should say, that the president has put on things like steel and all of that that's helped the steel industry. Let's go ahead and get to our friend Taylor Riggs.
Look at 100 deals a day. I choose one.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
The most valuable commodity I know of is information.
Who is that girl?
I'm Taylor Riggs.
Taylor, great to have you back. How are you today?
I love the walkout song. Thank you.
You are very welcome. We had to make one for you, for sure.
Love it.
We love having you on. Sort of a big day with the Fed announcement today, huh?
Yes, absolutely. So look, the market's pricing in over a 90% chance that the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates. But we sometimes wonder, is this already priced into the market or not? A lot of people think it has been. The markets, the equity markets, have been on a very slow melt-up in the last couple weeks. You're only about 1% back from record highs again on all of the major indices. And so a lot of people think that the markets have been pricing this in, but still, nonetheless, it is a big deal. I think we often talk about how much does a rate cut really impact you or not? Will it actually help bring down your costs? That's out for debate. It might help lower mortgage rates a little bit. It might help bring down your auto loan a little bit. But really, for small businesses out there, I think that's where you're going to see a bigger impact, because that means when they go to a bank, their loan will be a little bit cheaper than it otherwise would have been. So I think people are excited. Certainly, the Trump administration has been wanting this for a long time. And so we'll have to see again how much this really does move the needle.
Yeah, I wondered about that. The president of Pennsylvania last night was, you know, bragging about no tax on tips and all the other, you know, no tax on Social Security. A lot of those, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a lot of those changes people won't realize until the new year, correct?
Correct. But sooner than we think, because if you start filing your tax returns in January or February, by some research that we've been reading, you could see on average an extra couple $1,000s coming back to you, given all of the changes in the big, beautiful bill. And like you said, the no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. So that's going to be a really big boost to people who are going to get, hopefully, a much bigger check than they otherwise would have in the form of a tax refund. Yeah. So, yes, it'll hit in the about the first quarter of next year. And that sort of lines up with what Scott Bessent has been saying about how this is when he thinks the economy is really going to start to take off and when businesses are going to start to really feel the effects of the big, beautiful bill that is now law. So I'm actually excited to and really curious to see how tax refunds really start to change in the first quarter of next year and how that starts to impact the way people feel and then the way people spend.
Well, that cost savings really is critical, especially with the timing leading up to the midterms. You know, Trump gave he graded his economy. It was like an A++++++. And then you have some poll that comes out that says 57% of voters say that Trump is losing the battle against inflation. So I don't know if it really is an issue of affordability or if it's a perception issue, people just expecting it to automatically turn around overnight, basically.
I think a little bit of both. So it's hard when you have a president who campaigns and says we're going to bring prices down. And certainly a couple prices are down. But as you and I have always talked about, inflation, slowing inflation just means prices are rising less quickly. Actual deflation is when the price of a good comes down. And we've talked about how you may not actually want the prices to come down because that means we're in a recession. But you do want the rate at which the price is increasing to slow down. That's where people are splitting hairs, so to speak, and rightfully so, because it feels unaffordable. Scott Bessent and Kevin Hassett have been wonderful at saying there are two parts to the affordability crisis. It is inflation is too high, prices are too high, but also real wages. So your wage after inflation was negative under Biden. It started to trend positive. So as long as under Trump, the wage, the amount that you are taking home on an after inflation basis starts to turn positive again, you will feel richer. That's more money in your pocket. So I think they are focusing on that part of the equation rather than actually bringing the price of goods down, which is obviously much harder to do.
Yeah. So now we get to the important question for you, Taylor. Does Fox Business have a separate Christmas party from Fox News? Or do you get to go to the big shindig tonight?
Yes, so we're going tonight. You know what I love about the Fox family is everyone's included.
Good.
Even little people like me in
business.
Oh,
no, I didn't mean it that way.
We get to go hang with the big wigs.
Do your spouses get to go? Is it a family event or only staff?
You know, I think only staff, and as you know, Kim, I have two little ones at home, so I told my husband, you're staying at home, because this is Mama's night out.
That's right. Well deserved, huh? after a year of dealing with a new baby, so outstanding. Taylor, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, always.
All right, we'll talk soon. Appreciate that. She's great. No, I wasn't suggesting that she had a lesser-than party. I know there's some separation there between Fox Business and Fox News, and I didn't know if they just had one big party for everybody or if they had individual
parties. Well, it really is probably a cost savings. They don't want to spend the money to rent out another place.
Right. No, I certainly didn't mean it that she gets to party with the big people, because she is one of the big people now, for sure. She's fantastic. I love having her on. All right, we'll get to a quick break. We're going to be back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Love By the it. Way, I'm running for... No.
You're not running, but you are going to testify at a Senate hearing tomorrow.
At their behest.
Yes, in support of the American Music Fairness Act, which would require AM/FM stations to pay royalties to artists, treat AM/FM radio similar to digital streaming services, and pay royalties when American artists are played on foreign radio. This would be a shakeup of the music industry. Tell us why it's taken so long for these changes to even be discussed this
week. It's not going to be a shakeup. We're going to fix an injustice that has been ongoing in America, sadly, for generations, perhaps. Look, your favorite artist is Elvis, because you've got the do and all that. And for about 70 years, Elvis's music has been played on radio. Everybody gets paid. The radio industry, which we love, yeah, we don't want to demonize them, made $14 billion with a B this last year. How much did the Elvis estate get for all the times you heard, you ain't nothing but a... How much did he make?
A really?
Goose egg. Zero. Nothing. That
ain't- See, that's Gene Simmons, the bassist for Kiss, right? Testifying, he's going to testify, or already did before Congress, over this American Fairness Radio Act. And I texted my boss, Steve Moore, this morning and said, what in the hell is he talking about? Because I've been in the television business a long time and was in the radio business before I went in the television business and got back into the radio business. Every radio station that I know of pays a fee to either ASCAP or BMI, two organizations that pay money to them for the rights to access music. And if you don't pay them, you get sued for it. So what they're saying is here that they want to skip the, I guess they want to skip the middleman. I'm very confused by it. My boss was very confused by it. I don't know what Gene Simmons is talking about. They get royalties off the music they play from the industry organizations like ASCAP and BMI that we pay rights to as a radio station in order to have access to these catalogs of music. You can't get access to it. So why aren't they suing ASCAP and BMI if the argument is they haven't paid us enough for the rights to replay our music? We do pay a fee to have the right to play music. And I am very confused by, and I tried reading through it this morning to understand on the several articles, including The Hill, and none of them ever explained exactly what that meant. So I just wanted to point that out there because I'm getting ready to not pay the people at Triumph for playing the song that I'm about to play on the radio, apparently. Little did I know that I owed the music money for playing this.
I think it's only over a minute, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought you had a certain amount of time before you would start.
We never play an entire song here.
But I think to get paid, like, we had to keep track of anything we play over a minute.
Yeah, we used to have to keep lists of music that we had played so that it could be reported.
Right.
And we're not trying to cheat anybody. It's free. You're getting free promotion out of it. Plus, we're paying a licensing fee to get to play access to this music. I don't know if Gene Simmons has not made enough money in his life or what he's angry about. But by the way, I'm playing Triumph because I'm so excited for 2026. Can I just tell you that? Triumph announced they're going on tour. They're coming to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. I'm sure that tickets are probably going to go on sale here before long. Very exciting on that. Guns N' Roses is coming. AC/DC is coming. Rush is on tour this next summer. It is going to be an epic summer, and it's going to cost me a lot of money. A lot of money.
Maybe I'm just a little grinchy
because I'm going to go see all of them.
Once I've seen an artist, there's just very few I'd care to spend the money to go see again.
Well, Kim, maybe, and I'm just going to fast forward here 15 or 20 years when you're a little older and you realize an artist was the soundtrack to your life, and you kind of like to reminisce and go back and hear them again. You might want to do that. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
These bands are great. I'm so excited. All right. Have a great day. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. We'll see you back here Thursday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.